You asked for it, you got it. The Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The podcast that delivers food to your brain. And now, fresh from his morning nap, Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Hello, everybody. It's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast again, as it is almost every day at this time. Thank you very much, Drew McMillan, for introducing me. I'm so humbled by that magnificent introduction that he just stated. I don't know exactly what he said, but I'm quite certain that it was very complimentary, and I'm happy to have him on the staff. He is the least expensive staff member in this whole operation, because he has neglected to, or maybe just out of the kindness of his heart, felt that he really shouldn't ever invoice me for his services. But whatever the reason, I'm pleased to have him doing the introduction duties for each episode of this podcast. And this is Being the Lazy Man podcast. It's a podcast for people who are not really too interested or too excited about learning about Medicare. So we try to take Medicare knowledge and wad it up into a ball and shove it into their brains, but to do it in a kind of a painless, gentle, and perhaps even entertaining way, so that people facing those Medicare decisions get a clear idea of what decisions they need to make. They get a clear understanding of how it's probably not going to be a horrible experience. And little by little, they move past the Medicare encounter into the nirvana that is the land beyond Medicare, where things are beautiful and sunny and warm, always. That's the goal here. And in fact, we have a little ditty that lasts about 30 seconds that often I ask Randy Carson to play for us. Maybe he'll play it for us right now.
Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever.
Thank you, Randy. That was beautiful. So, what is new in your world, Randy?
We were chatting just a little bit before we started recording about the fact that I'm locked into my residence for the next 3 days, starting Thursday.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to have to take up some of your activities.
Which would be indulging in beer and... What else might you indulge in? That's about it. Watching a lot of TV.
There's desk cleaning and beer.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And desk cleaning and beer.
Yeah. Okay. That's 2 days.
And desk cleaning and beer.
I'm not going to recognize your office if you have enough desk cleaning going on, although the beer I'm quite familiar with. Well, let me ask you this. You talked about maybe calling the local constabulary to come and save you, to, you know, get you out of the house because your HOA has made a poor decision, decided to resurface all the streets at the same time so you can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
And I suggested that maybe when they found out that it was a false alarm, whatever, you called in, that maybe they would, you know, probably be madder at you and you might be in more trouble than if you didn't do that at all. I was going to ask if out there, since I haven't been there since June, are the police departments fully funded or have they been defunded?
No, actually, it's like the old West now. I looked in downtown Scottsdale the other day and there was Matt Dillon. Matt Dillon was patrolling the streets and his sidekick, Festus.
Festus has a limp, as I recall.
Yes, he did. He had a limp, or no? Festus didn't have a limp. What was the first one? Dennis Weaver was his first.
Dennis Weaver.
Kick.
Oh, that's right. You're right. Festus was after Dennis Weaver. You're absolutely correct.
Yeah, what was Dennis Weaver's name in the show?
I should know that because my mother went to school with him in Oklahoma. They went to high school together and maybe OU also. And so we left our home in Illinois one time. He was making a personal appearance in Elgin, Illinois, you know, 10 miles away. We left our home and it started snowing and we had to turn around and come back home. It started snowing so hard when I was a little kid. We couldn't make it 10 miles. Now, what kind of a hellhole did my parents move me to? That we couldn't even go see Dennis Weaver, for Christ's sake.
Did you see anybody before spring came?
It was, as a little kid, you know, frankly, build a snow fort, have your friends come over. And at the end of the day, your pants are solid.
You know, yeah.
They're frozen solid. So it wasn't as bad when you're a little kid. But looking back on it as an adult, what were my parents thinking? Jeez.
I don't know, man. They must have wanted some alone time out there.
Well, I asked about defunding because I didn't know if our local police in St. Charles, Illinois had been defunded or not. I haven't seen them in a long time. And I drive through town periodically. Well, I got up the other morning and the spousal unit said, "Oh, you missed all the excitement." And I said, "What excitement is that?" She said, "We had some business."
What excitement would that have been?
Yeah, exactly. That was my question. You know, give me my hot tea so I can dump some sugar in it before you waste any time telling me this stuff. Turns out that the driveway alarm, we've got a real long driveway and there's an alarm anytime somebody drives in, went off at about 6:30 in the morning. And then it went off again. And she thought, "Well, that's too close together. It's not the same car coming in and going out. So there must be two cars coming in." So she's laying there thinking, "Oh boy," listening to me snore and thinking something's going on out there. All of a sudden the doorbell starts ringing.
And oh my God.
A guy's leaning on the doorbell. It's not just a polite ding, ding. And I'll wait with my hands behind my back until somebody comes to the door. This is an incessant punching of the doorbell. And and so she gets up in her PJs and she's going to the dining room, which has a big bay window, and she can kind of see what's out there. And it was two police cars. And they had jumped out, I think left the doors open, and they were running around. And there were two cops, both with their sidearms drawn. So of course, she does what any normal human being would do. She goes to the door and opens it.
Oh, yeah, hell. Yeah, come on in. What can we do for you? Why have you got your guns drawn?
Exactly. So one is obviously backing up the other one. The guy at the door is, you know, is being backed up by his partner who's out in the driveway. And so she opens the door and he says, "Do you have a white Dodge on the property?" And she said, "No." And he said, "We're going to have to search your property." And he said, "Are you absolutely positive you don't have a white Dodge?" And she said, "Well, last time I looked, you know, we didn't have a white Dodge." And he said, "There was a Dodge stolen and the low jack in the Dodge indicates that it's sitting right here, right on your property, right here. And we've got 5 acres, you know, so it could have been behind a tree, I suppose."
Yeah.
So anyway, he says, "Okay, you've got a big attached garage right there. Can I see that?" She says, "Well, I'll go open the door from the inside. You go around the outside of the house." And so they, you know, she pushes the door. One of the garage doors open. Then he goes in. He sees the part of the fleet of, you know, classic muscle cars. And he goes, "Ooh, nice collection." And she goes, "All right, I'm closing the door now." There's no white Dodge in here. But then we have a detached garage. And so the partner went out and peeked in the window of the detached garage, saw that there were just more old cars in there, and came back. They looked around through the woods and stuff and came back and said, "All right, got to go find that Dodge." And they hopped in. So I told friends about this thing, and one of them suggested that I tell them that there was an unusual car track going right into the water of one of the ponds. Maybe I could get them to dredge out we've got these two big ponds. Maybe I can get them to dredge one of them out for me, looking for their Dodge.
Yeah, we've been wanting to dredge that for several years. I'm pretty sure there's a Dodge in there.
Yeah, if you just, you know, get your equipment in here and clean it out for us. I don't know. I got accosted with this. Like, "How come you sleep through all the fun?" You know, that kind of thing. I had to get up and do it for you. And so when I told my friends via email, basically I caught a lot of grief for sleeping through the whole thing, but that's just the kind of guy I am.
Well, you know probably what happened, Doug. You probably have a LoJack appliance or whatever they call those things. I mean, I think they stick like magnetically underneath the car. I mean, it's probably on your property. As they were whizzing by your property, they pitched it out there.
Yep, that sure is possible. And if I could find that thing and recalibrate it, I could use it. On the other hand, I've never had a car stolen, so I don't know why I'd want it. But it was nice to have to see that our local constabulary is still on the job.
Yeah, it's always good to know that you've got cops, you know, watching your back, you know,
and
somebody watching theirs, and you got rid of the dead deer. So, I mean, you know, it's just the week has been, you know, the last week and this week, it's been a real interesting week for both of you.
I feel like Rosanna Dana. If it's not one thing, it's another. First, a deer dies in your yard, and then you're dead, and then somebody steals a car and throws a LoJack in your yard, and pretty soon it's time to drink.
That's right.
Anyway, we promised the audience that we would get after it, and although today is desk cleaning day, I don't see it as being a real heavy episode on Medicare knowledge. But I thought I would open with a wrap-up on Roger, who we talked about a couple of episodes ago. Roger and I had a fairly lengthy exchange about his medical conditions and what his Medicare options would be and everything. This was no more than two episodes ago, I don't think. So Roger basically said he's got his wife to consider, and I think she's younger and all that stuff. So anyway, I ran across, I wrote Roger as I threatened to do. And I said, did you ever get a Medicare supplement plan yet? If so, good work, Roger. And if not, I'll be happy to assist you. Just let me know. And he wrote me back right away. He said, yes, sir, I got Plan G. Now, Roger was going to be an audio engineer. And so I was surprised at his response when I told him that he starred in one of our podcast episodes. He said, yes, sir, I got a Plan G. I should have let you know. My birth date was December 25th of 1954. So I just made the cutoff, but they said it wasn't available in Georgia. So I chose Plan F, but then they gave me a Plan G. How cool is that? I'm thinking he meant high deductible Plan G, but I can't read his mind. So he said, thanks for the heads up about the podcast. I've heard a few, but I'm not a podcast person. Now, how can somebody not be a podcast person? I listen to a lot of audiobooks on my commute. Well, okay, you can listen to an audiobook, but not a podcast once in a while? He said, now I don't have one, a commute, I mean. So I thought I'd enter the podcast world, but I'm not in the car much. I'll definitely check it out. Then he said, bless you. You're an amazing guy. This is the only reason I'm reading this. You're an amazing guy doing an amazing job helping people sort out a crazily overwhelming pile of information. I've told several people about your book. You should be in People magazine. Then he said, P.S. Yes, I know. I need to write a review on Amazon.
you've got him trained now.
I don't. The first time he corresponded was like 2 years ago. It's still on his list of things to do. He said, it's actually one of the items on my list of things to do. I'll try to do my best to do that next week. So, well, Roger, I'm not going to hold my breath, but I appreciate the thought, and I hope you get to it. So now, I like corresponding with Roger. That was like about an inch thick hunk of paper that I had printed all of our correspondence on, going back months and months and months. And it seems like it's kind of wrapped up now, unless Roger contacts me with another problem. But it caused me to have a thought that bothers me a little bit. And we talk about the patrons of the local bars demanding more mailbag items be inserted into our podcast content. And so we're always happy to do that. So I have enjoyed recounting my experience with Roger. And we have talked considerably about the fun we have and the fact that mailbag items are in high demand by the audience. People in our audience, as well as people at the Buffalo Chip and Herald's, like and can't get enough of are mailbag items. But the problem I realized is that we're about to shoot ourselves in the foot, Randy. We are about to destroy our own mailbag source of content.
Why?
I don't know. I guess, well, it's the result of trying to make it easier for people. Remember how we used to turn away people who wanted our help in getting Medicare supplement plan? And we didn't like that. So I said, let's make it really easy to help people by putting a questionnaire on the website so that when somebody goes to the website to see if their state has been turned green, they're interested in buying a Medicare supplement, they want to know what it costs and all that. I said, let's put a really easy to use questionnaire on the website. And that way we can have people just go there and send us a questionnaire. I just got a questionnaire last night from a woman in Memphis. And so I thought, okay, this is great. It works just like we expected it to. Somebody going to the website can fill out the questionnaire in a few minutes, click a button, and it arrives on my desk. And then I can start helping them figure out what they would like to do for Medicare supplement. But what does that destroy? That destroys a person sitting down and writing us an item that winds up in the mailbag. Because nobody's going to enjoy my sitting there reading their yes, no responses to the questionnaire. Yes, yes, no, 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 yes,
yeah,
no.
This was a yes, 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 no, no, yes.
So that's not going to make for good Medicare or good content, I don't think, entertaining content. So you and I have to put our thinking caps on and try to figure out a way that we can get people to write us a little story so that we have Medicare or we have mailbag content to use during our future podcasts. So,
you know, that's a great idea. Maybe we can modify the form such that they can't submit it until they send something to the mailbag.
That's right. That's right. I think that's a good idea. You know, have you written your life's history in this box yet? So,
once upon a time in a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah, or I'm more of the stand-up comic thing, which was, I think, a Smothers Brothers joke. I was born at a very early age, and yes. it goes on from there. So I think we've got to keep our thinking caps on about how not to destroy our source of mailbag items that we want to use for future podcast episodes. So that's my two cents there.
Yeah, we shouldn't have made it so easy.
No, because it's just going to be boring to sit here and go, yes, no, yes, yes. And that was Miss Smith from, you know, I can only think of dirty names of town, so never mind. I'm cleaning my desk off today. Here's another thing I'm trying to get rid of. It is the Medicare educational and events and sales seminars during COVID, which I call the Wuhan flu. Holding Medicare educational events or Medicare sales events during the COVID pandemic, which is really not a pandemic, is just a panic. It's a legal and ethical gray area, this circular letter says. It's a letter from an insurance company, not really. It's like a brokerage firm, and they advise their agents, you know, this is a gray area. You might not want to do this, but we don't have the fortitude to make a stand one way or the other. So they go on to say, a decision like this depends on a lot of factors, including your health, whether or not your state or county has any active lockdown or gathering restrictions, what any restrictions are, if they exist, and if you and potential attendees could follow them. This is all pertaining to what I have told in every book I've told the readers to avoid like the plague. This would be your Medicare seminars in which an agent tries to talk you into buying a Medicare Advantage plan. Why do they do that during seminars? I have always warned readers of the book that going to a seminar where an agent is going to try to talk you into buying a Medicare Advantage plan is going to be pretty much a waste of your time. Now, why would they have such a seminar? So they can try to fool a lot of people into buying these obviously inferior plans that pay huge commissions. And why would you go to a seminar? Because you have a sincere desire to learn more about your Medicare choices and which choices might be best for you. And once they get you into a room where you're kind of a captive audience, you could be victimized by some fancy footwork and some entertaining sleight of hand into signing up for a Medicare Advantage plan. I don't think that's ever a good idea. So the fact that people are giving second thoughts or giving serious consideration to not holding meetings, not holding educational seminars during this weirdo period that we're in, I think is probably working to the advantage of innocent victims they might otherwise ensnare. You may remember the story I told last year of a woman who went to one of these seminars, and it was so obvious that the seminar director, the person in charge of the seminar, was completely inept. He had no idea what he or she was talking about. And somebody eventually in the audience stood up and said, "Look, you know, this is not doing me any good," but they held up my book. And the guy said, "This is a much more valuable source of information than coming to the seminar." So this lady that was talking or telling the story took a picture of the cover of my book and went home and bought it on Amazon and read the book and was just thoroughly enthralled with the fact that that book saved her all kinds of time and potential mistakes. So she became a very vocal proponent of the book, and a couple of her friends have contacted me. So that's a story that I just will take to my grave, because I helped somebody, I helped more than one person get past what could have been unpleasant consequences from buying the wrong kind of insurance plan. So anyway, that is one of the items I was going to get off my desk. It is now laying on the floor next to my desk. How much time do we have? You're looking around like, when's he going to shut up?
We are out.
Ah, geez. I've got a four-page thing here. 5 reasons clients switch Medicare plans during AEP.
Well, we probably could go a bit longer because the crickets were a little early, given the fact that there was some technical difficulties on my end of the world. So let's go.
Every noisy thing in your house decided to spring into action at the same time. So, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, you're going to hear some edits during the course of this episode. So, but let me hit the 5 reasons why clients switch Medicare plans during AEP, which is annual election period. People that have Medicare Advantage plans, which we advise against, we call them Medicare disadvantage plans. People that have purchased those plans are highly likely to become dissatisfied. Maybe their doctor has left the plan. Maybe the plan is not going to pay for their drugs anymore. You can buy the plan and you're stuck with it for a year. Your doctors, your drugs, drug benefits, all of that stuff can change during the course of the year without your having to agree to it. So it's entirely possible that your plan that you got last year has changed. Look, Randy yawns and now he's coughing. Anytime the word Medicare Advantage comes up, a visceral reaction occurs.
I literally, it just grabs me right where it hurts, Doug.
I can see your veins are throbbing.
Anytime somebody says Medicare Advantage plans, it's just a conflict of terms in my world.
Well, every year from October 15th to December 7th, they have the opportunity to change plans. But you know something? They're so unhappy with the crapola that they bought last year that has changed and become unpleasant for them this year that the government added a 3-month period after January 1st. So from January to March of the next year, they still have the opportunity to switch Medicare Advantage plans. So Randy is exactly right. These plans cause unhappiness for people, and that's why the government allows almost 6 months in which people can get out from under the stupid Medicare Advantage plan they bought. And instead of, you know, they may not be physically able to answer a health questionnaire for a Medicare supplement insurance company, and they may not be allowed to get a Medicare supplement plan because good health has passed them by. So they wind up with another Medicare Advantage plan, and often that Medicare Advantage plan is going to change. during the course of the next year or two that they have it, and they'll be shopping every year. So there are five reasons that people leave Medicare Advantage plans and switch to a different Medicare Advantage plan during the annual open enrollment, or AEP. So one of them is cost of coverage. A lot of these plans advertise that they are $0 premiums, but then maybe next year they might impose a monthly premium. They might impose a hefty monthly premium. If it was a small monthly premium, they might jack it up so that they're charging a large monthly premium. With a Medicare supplement, you're going to have frequent rate increases. But if you buy, frequent meaning annually or every couple of years, if you buy the Medicare supplement plans that I recommend, which start with the unfortunate words high deductible, your premium is going to be so small that a 2% increase in the price isn't even going to bother you. A 3% increase in the monthly premium once every couple of years is not even going to be noticeable. So that is one solution to the problem of these Medicare Advantage plans gouging you. But you've got to get a Medicare supplement either when you first become eligible or while you're still in good health so that you can answer a health questionnaire with all no's. No, 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 I don't have any of that stuff. Give me a Medicare supplement, and that's going to solve your problems, and you'll never have to search for another Medicare plan again. All right, so changing needs. People who change from one Medicare Advantage plan to the other often have changing needs. They want to change because of, switch from one plan. Oh, they want to change because their drugs have changed, and their Medicare Advantage plan drug coverage does not accommodate their new need. They may want to change because they have a disease that their Medicare Advantage plan doesn't have the right specialists that they want to consult. Remember, with a Medicare Advantage plan, often you have to ask for permission to seek treatment from a specialist. You don't have the freedom that you would have with a Medicare supplement plan to just call a specialist and say, I would like an appointment to see you. You can't do that and have it paid for without getting permission from your family doctor, your primary care physician. That person is a gatekeeper. That's the term in the insurance business for somebody who has the power to either allow you to get a specialist appointment or deny you that possibility. Plan changes. Of the 1 in 10 enrollees who switched their Medicare Advantage plan in the year they're talking about here, those who had seen a higher increase in their premium were found more apt to change. 29% of those who switched saw an increase of $40 or more in those premiums. So these Medicare Advantage plans bring in new members by saying, this is a $0 premium plan. And then they jack the prices up as time goes by, hoping that some of these people are just too lazy to go out and look for a new plan. On the other hand, the people are saying, hey, I got screwed. So I want to do the work of looking for a new plan. And that's why it's such a big deal at the end of every year. Annual election period causes a frenzy of activity in the insurance industry for people that sell Medicare Advantage plans. Clients also seek a bigger network in their area, especially if their current network will shrink in the upcoming area. In the particular year of this report, more than 35% of Medicare Advantage people had their plans with narrow networks, encompassing less than a third of the physicians in their particular county. Now, that's a pretty small portion of the medical professionals that you have available to treat you. With a Medicare supplement, complete freedom of choice of any doctor that accepts Medicare, which is about 93% of all doctors, I'm told. Change in eligibility. To be eligible to enroll in Medicare Advantage, your clients must be enrolled in Medicare Parts A and B, as well as live in the service area. End-stage renal disease used to result in ineligibility in most cases. There are exceptions. If any of these qualifiers changed for a client, like moving. If you move, you're going to have to look for a new Medicare Advantage plan because they are limited in their geographic areas. Another thing is star ratings. Some of these plans are so bad that the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, the misspelled government agency, misspelled because it should be CMMS. Instead, they spell it CMS, but it stands for Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. They're missing an M in there. Those guys developed a rating system which has like from 1 to 5 stars. Now, they don't need that for Medicare supplement plans because all Medicare supplement plans work just like clockwork. They don't need to be measured against each other to find the best or worst plans. So those are the 5 reasons why people change their Medicare Advantage plans every year at annual election period. And now why the government has added 3 months to that process so that even more people can change because there are that many more dissatisfied customers of Medicare Advantage plan. And I think I've blown my wad for today, Randy. I don't know how long you're going to cut this down to, but.
Well, I think we've got enough today. We're kind of running out of steam, but I do have a couple observations I would like to make.
Please observe. Please express your observation.
Well, one would be, why don't they instead of calling it Medicare Advantage, why don't they call it Medicare Bait and Switch?
I think they're still smarting from your appellation, which is Medicare Disadvantage. I think you've got their head spinning. How do we shut Randy up?
Well, there's one other observation I would like to make.
I'd like to hear it.
But I don't know how to start it up. But let's say, okay, years ago, there was, you know, you bought a car, you just bought a car, okay? Now, over the years, I guess you have, depending on the state, you have a 3-day right to rescind a contract for, you know, various things.
Really?
But you know that if somebody gives you like 6 months to move on,
mm-hmm.
there's really an issue that you should look into.
I know where you're going with that, and I did make an oversight. That 6-month period, which is really from October 15th to the to December 7th, and then all of January, February, and March. That is the time when you've got your Medicare Advantage plan that you're sick of, and you can switch to a different Medicare Advantage plan. But you can't go to a Medicare supplement company without proving to them that you're in good health. If you've lost your good health because you dilly-dallying too long, then you're out of luck. You cannot get a Medicare supplement anymore. But there is one little caveat there. The government said, okay, we're going to have a revolution on our hands. The old people will be marching on Washington and trying to kill us if we don't give them a bone, throw them a bone. So what they did was they said, if you buy a Medicare Advantage, anytime in the first 12 months that you have that Medicare Advantage, if you realize that you've made a mistake and that you really, for the rest of your life, are going to be better off with a Medicare supplement plan, they will allow you to change to a Medicare supplement without proving that your health is good. So that is one thing that they don't talk about a lot, but it's there. If you buy a Medicare Advantage and then you realize you've been hornswoggled or had the wool pull over your eyes, within that first 12 months, you can switch to a Medicare supplement plan and not have to fill out a health questionnaire.
So I've got a better idea, Doug.
I knew you would.
So we keep advising these people just to take all the advertising on Medicare Disadvantage plans during this period of the year and use it to prop up their short-legged table.
Sure.
Now, there would be the other opportunity to say, let's say that the Medicare supplemental companies, they should take this period to send out an equal amount of email going, are you sure you didn't screw up? You know, like every week, send them something going, you really screwed up, buddy. You need to get a real piece of insurance.
Well, sure. Now, that might work. But people who have just purchased a Medicare Advantage plan may still be healthy, and they may not have discovered the type of rigmarole that they're going to be put through as patients when they get a medical diagnosis that's going to cause them to need intensive treatment. They don't know yet because they're healthy for the most part. So my thought is, let's wait until they've been in that plan for 5 years or so and then say, Would you like to change? We're going to give you a 1 month period of time every year where if you want to get out, you can get out.
I think that's a great idea because, you know, to your point, Doug, you cannot predict the future. I mean, you're sitting there looking at that, you know, cheapo, oh, no premiums, none of this. You know, you get free lunches. We're going to drive you to the grocery store, you know, all that stuff. And bottom line is you don't know. You can't predict the future. And it seems to be a great idea to say, okay, once a year for, you know, 12 minutes flat or whatever the right number is, we're going to give you a chance to rectify your seriously erroneous decision.
The only downside is those people would have to pay for their increased risk because all of these Medicare supplement insurance companies are going to be flooded with people who are sick and can't qualify with the health questionnaires. So it's probably going to cost them more money if such a thing ever actually comes to pass. But better to have to pay a little bit more to get a much better quality product, in my opinion. So
we used to say back in the Midwest, don't take any wooden nickels.
Right.
And the reason we used to say that is wooden nickels aren't worth anything. And so I've adjusted that to say, don't take any Medicare disadvantage plans.
Yep, and I would say don't take any Confederate money because it's going to be worth the same. It's going to be pretty much equivalent in value.
That's right.
So that's our lesson for today. Stay away from Medicare Advantage.
It is. Well, everybody, I hope you enjoyed this conversation as much as we enjoyed it. We always enjoy being with you. Everybody was a good listener today. I know it sounds like, you know, occasionally we're probably beating up on Medicare disadvantage plans. And by the way, I intend to. I can't speak for Doug, but that's my goal in life. And we will thank you for joining us today. You have spent just about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance insurance guy, sole proprietor of Medicare for the Lazy Man.
Bye-bye.